So, you know what the first one's going to be against, too?
Yeah.
So, you and me.
Okay, no, well, we're not going to do, like, a battle podcast.
Yes, you are.
Oh, it's all of us.
Welcome to the podcast where we battle children.
That's right.
We battle adorable children.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and kick this one off, okay?
Let's do that.
Can I kick it off? Are you my co-host?
Yeah.
All right.
Hi, this is Nick and Tina, and you're watching On the Road with Dr. Brian.
Folks, this is Dr. Brian King. I'm on the road, and really on the road this time. The last few podcasts I recorded, I was at home, my new home in Texas. But I'm on the road here in Tucson, Arizona, and I'm here with my co-host, the lovely Alyssa.
Yay!
You want to say hi? There you go. Alyssa, by the way, for those of you who don't listen to most of my work or keep up with most of my work, Alyssa is my 4-year-old daughter. So if she's not my Down syndrome partner. But anyways, that would be weird.
Like, that would be me.
Who is that? No,
it's your guess.
And we're in Tucson, and you know, we things bring people together for various reasons. We're in Tucson for something, and we just so happened to find out that my friend Eric Escobar is also here in Tucson. He's touring, doing a comedy tour with another comedian named Brian Blank. And we're here sitting down chatting. How you doing, Eric and Brian?
Great. I'm doing great. It's really serendipitous that we were both in Tucson at the same time, and it's such a great excuse to, you know, run into my really old friend, great comedian, super cool person, and Dr. Brian King. So, Alyssa, great to run into you again. You're one of my favorite comics, a great podcast host. And your dad's cool, too. Your dad's cool, too.
Yeah, Alyssa is very quickly taking over my entire fan base.
She really is.
And you guys are, you guys are playing here tonight.
We are. I am a big fan of Laughs Comedy Club out here in Tucson. It's actually, fun fact, the first road club I ever did. First club, or first show even, outside of LA, I want to say.
Nice.
Yeah, so coming back home.
So, well, coming back to your home away from home.
Coming back to my home.
It's like your vacation home. They put you up in a nice place?
Either way, I'm getting chicken fingers.
There you go. Yeah. Hey, remember, we're doing a podcast, so I don't want to look at what your flip-flop tricks.
For those of you listening, he's talking to Brian Blank. Just so you're aware, he's talking to Mr. Brian Blank.
And Brian, you're a comic too, and you're based in LA as well?
Yeah, yeah.
How long have you been doing comedy?
Too long, like around 9-10 years.
9-10 years. Yeah. You know, I was talking earlier about you should give up at 10 years.
I know, that's why I didn't say anything when you said that.
He didn't say anything, but his tears said enough.
Yeah.
They definitely said enough.
It's an inside joke, folks, but I was talking to comedians recently about the fact that I've been doing comedy for so long and I never got famous, and I made the cutoff point at 10 years. If you do comedy for 10 years and nobody knows who you are, it's time to find another hobby. You know, maybe pick up a guitar.
Yeah, slam poetry. Yeah. That's the new route.
There you go.
That's,
you know,
still
maybe
in, I hope so.
Work on those abs and become a model. You know,
that's not gonna happen.
But I had too much chicken fingers. You know, it's a really hard cycle. Very hard.
So you guys are touring together.
Mm-hmm.
Where's this tour taking you guys all?
So we started in we got in last Thursday, I believe. Friday was our first show. That was in Maricopa.
Yeah.
Very, very fun. After that, so actually, quick story about that before we get into the rest of the tour.
Yeah.
We got to Maricopa, we got to the bar, it was a great bar, and we were booked at True Grit Tavern. So I look it up, True Grit Tavern's on the
True
map.
True Grit, like True the Grit. Like the movie?
Like the movie, go Clint Eastwood. That was the movie, we'll see. Thanks for listening, Clint, I appreciate it.
Clint is a big fan.
He's a big fan, huge. But he, or True
right?
Grit, we got there, and it was The Roost. And we're like, what is this Roost place? It's supposed to be True Grit Tavern. Turns out they got bar rescued the day before the show.
No way.
So the stage space was completely different. There were pool tables and tables. So they had to like figure out what's going to be our comedy show stage.
Wait, the guy from that show was John there?
Taffer.
Did he go to your show?
No, the day before.
It was the second day of it being that new restaurant. And like you could even ask the waitress for about a food item, and she'd be like, I don't know.
You're kidding. do you think that bar rescue was successful for them?
Here's the thing, I hope it is, because when the episode comes out, more people are going to come there, and when they go there, they're going to find out about comedy.
for a podcast.
No. This is a crazy loud Starbucks. The loudest Starbucks in Tucson.
Is this a loud podcast, Alyssa?
Yeah.
Well, Eric was just telling actually a pretty interesting story. That's
more interesting than what Alyssa has to say.
That's true. That's true.
To be fair.
Eric's telling the whole story about this bar rescue joint, and Alyssa's got her literally covering her ears.
You know what? She's just like 40% of the audience members that have been on this show. Just, you know, ears covered with the hands.
I'm more than that.
You're more than that. Yes, that's, you are.
She's definitely putting me in my place right now.
Yes,
really,
you are.
I'm not kidding.
She's not kidding. She is not. Let me make sure we're still recording here. Yeah, we are. Okay, good.
Beautiful. So, yeah, we started in Maricopa. We were at the bar rescue place. Then we went to JP's Comedy Club. I believe that's in Gilbert. Super fun club.
Yeah, like outside of Phoenix area, right?
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Jim Perry runs it. Great guy. I always love it there. And then I want to say we did Catalina on Sunday. Catalina Pizza Company. Super, yep. Super fun.
Yeah.
Monday was a little bit of an off night. Did we do Mike's Monday?
Devil's Advocate.
We did Devil's Advocate. Super
nice,
fun Mike.
Nice.
And then we spent 2 days in Vegas, back in Tucson.
I was thinking about doing Catalina tomorrow, you know, because that's the Sunday, right?
Yeah.
Are you guys going to be around for that?
No, we're leaving tonight.
So,
but it's a great all-women show tomorrow.
The reason why I decided not to is not because I'm not a woman, but because tomorrow's the 4th of July. And so I wasn't like, I wasn't going to do a comedy show on 4th of July.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
You know, my kid needs fireworks, you know.
Yeah.
This is what happens to your comedy career when you have a kid. You start making choices like that. You know, somebody like, can I do comedy or take my kid to see fireworks?
How do you feel about that? Cool.
You feel about that? Are you all right?
I'm pretty sure it's more patriotic to do comedy than it is to spend time with your family.
Maybe. But so it sounds, this is kind of cool. And then you guys go back to California, or is there more tour after this?
We're going back to California. Coming up, so I'm actually going to be back for a couple days, and then I go to Minnesota.
All right.
It's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
This is a super crazy podcast, isn't it? Yeah.
You got a question for Eric?
Or Brian?
Not so many questions.
Well, that's the thing. It's like it's an interview, so we got to have questions. We got to get to know these people a little bit. You're like, watch what I'm going to do, okay? I'm going to talk a little bit. So Eric, you know, you and I go back.
Way back.
We met back when I was in California, and we even did a small little mini tour together. We did up and down the West Coast to Boise, Idaho, and back. You know?
I tell this story, I would say, at least once every 2-3 months. I always talk about back in the day, went on the road with Dr. Brian King, runs a little thing called Bloody America.
Oh, yeah.
And we stopped at a couple spots, and they hooked it up with some of the best Bloody Marys ever had. And I was like, why are you doing this? Like, well, he's the Bloody America guy. I'm like, I thought he was just a cool homie. Like, he's like a Bloody Mary King.
I was.
That was
another thing I used to do, but I'm not doing it anymore. Yeah.
So, the people who watch this video and my other persons, they might say, be not very weight of.
Oh, you think that people who, well, they're only going to listen to this. We're not doing it on video this time. Sometimes we do them on video.
Sounds like Alyssa had some Bloody Marys before this.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Virgin Bloody Marys.
You know, actually, it's funny you should bring that up, the Bloody America. So I did do this thing for a long time called Bloody America, and I did kind of get, like, semi-known among, like, people
one
who are
minute,
Bloody Mary
one
aficionados.
Minute, one minute.
Alyssa had to take off. She had a prior commitment.
She's headlining the club this
week. Yeah, that's right. No, I did this Bloody Mary project for years, and I did get some notoriety, and like people didn't know about it. I published a little book about Bloody Marys, but it's not something I pursue anymore. But what's interesting is that rolling into Tucson, I'm suddenly reminded about all the great Bloody Mary joints that are in this town.
Yes.
And there are some really good ones. And so I'm a healthier me than I was when I was touring with you. And so I'm not really drinking much, and I'm not really eating much, and I'm just not going to, you know, I'm not there. You know, I'm not the same guy.
Well, a celery is what? For every calorie a celery is, you lose 2 calories?
Yeah.
So really, a Bloody Mary is a diet.
Well, that's true. But then they throw the bacon on it, and then they throw it, you know.
I was
was telling
keto.
Eric that Bloody Mary is like my guilty pleasure.
Oh, nice.
To me, it like symbolizes you're on vacation.
I will have to. I'll give you a copy of my book. I don't even know how relevant my book is anymore because it's been a few years and there was a pandemic and a lot of businesses have closed. Yeah, but you know, it's a guidebook to the Bloody Marys.
I think the Bloody Marys flourished in the pandemic because I was definitely at home a lot of the time drinking a lot of Bloody Marys.
But see, that's
myself.
Just it. They're home.
That's true.
You're not going to a restaurant or a bar, which is where my guidebook would tell you. You know, my guidebook doesn't say go to Eric's house.
You can if you're listening. Come bring the party. Bring some Bloody Marys. It'll be a good time.
But yeah, that was fun. And you never know what's going to pop up and what's going to cause inspiration. Like that happened because I was touring. Mm-hmm. And as I was touring, I was finding these places with Bloody Marys. You know. So we know each other for a long time, but we haven't seen each other since. Maybe Jeez. 5 years or so.
It's been a while. Like, we saw each other a couple times after that, and we're going to your place one time. Your wonderful partner there. We may have been on a show or two, but it was, it's been a long time since we like hung out.
It's when I left California.
Longer for us.
Yeah, no, me and Brian, it's been way longer. That's what I was getting to. I was going to say, like, I've just met Brian. And so you've been a comic now for 10 years or so. How'd you get started in that?
Started in Denver. I'm born and raised in Denver.
All right. I noticed the Denver Nuggets hat that you're wearing. Yeah. So
in Arizona.
I figured it has something to do with you being from Colorado.
Very prideful of that. And then went from Denver to Portland to San Francisco to L.A. Did Triple Runs for them. They're like 4-day, 8 to 15 hour back-to-back driving, get out and do the show type tours, and then been in LA for the past like 6 years.
Wow. Yeah, Triple Runs are great. I miss them, actually.
Their first Triple Run I did, they paid me in chips.
Nice.
I got some casino chips, and it was great.
I really enjoyed them, and I didn't mind the driving between the gigs. It was just kind of like, it's good country up there. It's nice to drive around.
I brought my dog on almost all of them.
But I haven't done one or even seen an opportunity to do one in a long time. So I don't know if they got sick of me or.
I know they have a couple rooms, but I've always just done a really really fun club called Jokers over in Richmond.
Yeah. Richmond, Washington. That was the best one in their whole circuit. But.
Yeah. Big fan. Great.
I like the casino. The casino in Pendleton was a good one. I forget what that was called. But
real quick, I rarely get to tell this story.
Go for it.
You guys both know about Jokers. When I went to go do it, for whatever reason, there was like a car parade that day, and I literally had to get in the car parade to get to Jokers.
Were you like waving to people?
I was trying to be discreet, smoking while going 10 miles per hour.
That's wild.
It's like a Cadillac, a Mustang, a Prius. What is the Prius doing next to this muscle car?
But see, that's just it, though. He's got this tricked out Prius.
Yes, of course. To be fair, it is a very nice Honda Civic.
last year, we bought an SUV because my daughter is too big to sit in a smaller seat. But so we upgraded to an SUV. But we only upgraded the SUV after we settled in Texas. You know? Before that, we were touring the country, and not only this country, but all over Canada, everywhere, in a Prius.
Really?
People would always ask us, about what do you guys got, like a Winnebago or an RV or something like that? Like, no, Prius. There's so much room inside a Prius. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Like, we would pack it full, we would have, and still have, and then when we had the kid, they're surprisingly out of practical.
Hatchbacks in general have a lot of room, I think.
They're surprisingly practical cars, and like, I don't own a practical car. This is my girlfriend's car, and Prius was my girlfriend's car as well. I have like a Mustang convertible, and then when you knew me in LA, I had a convertible Oldsmobile.
Yeah, that was a great car.
You know how I buy cars? Is it red, and does the top come down?
You always had dice.
Yeah.
You always had dice in your car, no matter what car you had. You had dice in your car.
And I was like, Alyssa, what's hanging in the what's in our car at back home? The convertible. Do we have anything hanging from the rearview mirror?
I don't know.
You don't remember? Dice, you're supposed to say. We have dice.
Alyssa, I always thought you were a craps person. I guess you're more of a roulette person. Didn't realize it.
I gave my Mustang to Alyssa.
Good.
Alyssa, come on over here and talk and tell them about your Mustang if you want to be back on. Ah, well. No, my my Mustang needed a paint job. And it was red. And as I was at the paint job, you know, place getting it repainted, I asked him. I was like, well, if I change the color, would that cost anything? Because they had to repaint the entire car. I thought they could do like spots, you know, because that's what I needed. But they had to repaint the entire car. And he said, well, it's not going to change anything. It's not going to cost anything different if you change the color. And so I let Alyssa pick the color. And so now I drive a pink Mustang.
Whoa, with the dice.
Yeah,
with
cool. Pink dice, pink Mustang.
This is what happens when you become a dad, my friends.
It really is.
Touring the country to get a beautiful pink car.
You must get mistaken for a pimp all the time.
I do. I drive through certain neighborhoods, and I'm just, I get like all kinds of like dudes like, man, look at that car. But it's, I gave it to her technically. I told her it's like, it's her car when she's old enough. And you know, so that's why I'm surprised she got all shy about talking about it. Cause she loves telling people about her car. Yeah.
You know? Alyssa, I can tell you right now, you're probably a better driver than me. Definitely. My insurance is very high.
Yep. So you started in Denver, and then I went to San Francisco, and then I went down to I went up to Portland, and then down to LA. So I've lived in all like the same cities, just at different times, you know. And I lived in Denver. Holy crap!
What time periods?
I don't know. Probably a while ago. It was before I met Eric, and so I can't even remember. You know, offhand, but it was probably a while ago.
Didn't you get your doctorate through a spot in Denver? Was it Colorado?
No, I got my doctorate in Texas.
Oh, in Texas, my bad. But what I know you got it somewhere, California.
The connection to Denver and my life is that I wrote my last book while I was living in Denver. And it's a book that Alyssa factors into, because it was written when she was two. And it's dedicated to her, and it's called The Art of Taking It Easy. If any of you people who are my listeners haven't yet bought it, I don't know why. I feel like people who listen to my podcast should already know about it, but whatever.
So how many states has she lived in at the age of four?
Okay, so Alyssa has lived
not
in...
Not counting Puerto Rico any territories.
Alyssa has lived in maybe three or four states. Like, and when I say lived, I mean spent at least like a couple of months. But she's been to every state.
Has she really?
Yeah, and she made it to all 50 by the age of one.
Wow.
She celebrated her first birthday in Hawaii, and we were just talking about that earlier, weren't we, Alyssa?
There are so many jealous people right now.
Yeah.
And that's my favorite one is
Hawaii.
Paris.
Paris is my favorite state.
Not
in
a city,
the United
but
States.
Still
not,
making people even more jealous.
She loves Paris. Now she has been to Paris, but I think she talks about Paris a lot because she sees it in some of the cartoons
like
that
Ratatouille,
she watches.
You know, yeah.
But yeah, no, she loves Paris, and she had
a
good time.
No, I like the Eiffel Tower.
The Eiffel Tower. That's right. We did go to the Eiffel Tower.
I'm a big fan of the bread. Big fan of the bread in Paris. They have a lot of beautiful sights, but
let me tell you,
carbs. I'm a big fan of the sunset. There's the sunset that's beautiful in Paris.
Come on over here and talk on the
beautiful sunset. Beautiful baguettes.
So I don't want to make this about us, but we took her to Europe a couple years ago, because we all went to Europe. You know, we took her to Europe a couple years ago, and one thing about France and Paris in general, if you're traveling with a kid, it's like covered. Like the whole city and country is covered in carousels, like old fashioned historic carousels. You know, so like every couple of blocks when you're walking around, is like there's a ride for your kid. Yeah. It's pretty awesome actually, and there's one right at the base of the Eiffel Tower. It's just like she's riding around the carousel, and the Eiffel Tower is in the background. It's like magical, you know, and the video footage and the pictures. You know, I think that really sticks with her. You know?
While she's not listening, did you guys ever make it to Disney World Paris or Disneyland Paris?
So we did. She's been to Disney in Florida.
Okay, I actually just got back there. Had a great time.
Yeah, did you have to wear a mask?
Because
what's keeping me from going is that I don't want to wear a mask when I go to Disney. You
know? I went. I want to say in March, it wasn't that bad. But having to wear a mask there in the heat. I think it would be a brutal trip. Better to just wait it out.
I don't want to do that. So, when we were in Europe, we thought we might take her to Disney in Paris, But then we were just loving Paris so much that we didn't want to waste a day of Disney.
And it's also,
you know,
like an hour outside of town. It's a day. There is a
theme park in England that we took her to. Okay. We took her on one day when we first arrived to Europe. It's Alton Peppa Towers? Pig World. No, Peppa Pig World. It's
Peppa Pig World.
Yeah.
I love it.
So we took her to Peppa Pig World when we first got to Europe, and then at the end of our trip, we were leaving out of London, and we had an extra day where we could just goof
kind of
off.
Do whatever, yeah.
We went back to Peppa Pig World.
That's
so
great. If you go on the Peppa Pig Wikipedia, fun fact, horrifying fact, they say Peppa Pig is like 8 feet tall. And I'm like,
what?
Peppa Pig was real. That'd be a sight.
That'd be crazy.
I would run away. I would run away.
They did have like somebody in a costume dressed as Peppa Pig, you know, and that person.
Yeah,
you know,
and that's what.
What?
Actually, we do have a Peppa Pig costume.
You do have a Peppa Pig costume. You do.
They didn't serve any bacon, did they?
Yeah. She was a little afraid, though, of the Peppa Pig costume character at the
place.
But you know, it's
a real Peppa Pig.
Yeah.
George.
That's right. George Pig was there too. It's the only theme park I've ever been to in England, and it was like, I don't know. The English have a reputation for being polite and nice, and it was like, super nice. I mean, like, just super everything. Was just, I felt like this is the place, like, I could leave my kid here and come back in, like, 6 hours, and I'd feel okay with that. You know what I mean? Like, it was just really, really well done.
Well, I think a lot of the theme parks in the States, we really like our...
Okay, relax. Take off your shoes. Kick back a little. There you go.
Take off my shoes. That's
what you were just going to toss.
I know. Alyssa is an unusual co-host. No, let me tell you.
Favorite co-host.
She's like
my
Andy favorite. Dick.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's very much like Andy Dick.
She's just, you know, she does her own thing. And she's like, whatever. If you're recording me, if not, I don't care. She's wonderful. She has been on some of my podcasts before. Here's the thing I wanted to bring up. So, okay, well, first of all, on this tour, are you guys, like, doing this equally? Are you headlining and he's featuring? You featuring?
It's pretty much his tour.
Oh, okay.
He's pretty much just bringing me along.
So Eric arranged everything, and then he's like, hey, I could kick you some stage time, or are you, like, booked?
So I he had almost everything booked for this when we were talked about going on tour. And when he said yes and stuff in Arizona, my childhood best friend lives out in Chandler, so it was like we could
kind of a
sure.
perfect.
Nice.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things where I think it was really exciting because, you know, over the last year, 2 years, things have been getting better. You know, it's been a lot of hard work. Mm-hmm. It's been some luck, and I'm really grateful for it. But now I actually have pull. Like, before, it's like I'm barely getting a spot myself, or I'm just doing a guest set. Like, I don't know. But now, you know, I was able to get, you know, a couple headlining gigs. I was able to bring a friend along. It's been great, and I think it's one of those things where I'm really stoked that my friends are able to come on the road with me, have fun, do some shows, and hopefully, you know, I want you to get work out of this. In a year, you know the guys to hit up, you know the people to hit up, the wonderful producers.
I think that's a good place to be, and I remember that time. And just don't have a kid. That's all I'm saying, because I feel like you're at a point like similar to how I felt, and I'm not pursuing comedy as much as I used to. But I do want to mention this on the recording. I was telling you about this before. So I did an open mic last night in Tucson, and the host of the open mic was this guy, Connor, who's also a comedian, and he apparently said he saw you performing at Catalina last week. Catalina's like a town.
Friday or yeah, I think it was Friday. No,
it's
Sunday.
It's like a town a little bit outside of Tucson, right? And anyways, so he said that he saw you, and that you were. He said that you were a really good riffer. He said that you were your crowd work was really great. You were riffing a lot. You did a crowd work.
That feels so nice to hear.
But that's not the Eric that I remember.
Not at all.
You know, like 5 years ago when we were touring together, you would just joke. And like not even jokes, like set up punch kind of style.
Very one-liner,
you know?
Yeah.
And so and I would never imagine you doing a whole lot of crowd work. Maybe a little bit if something went wrong or whatever, but like now you're doing like a lot of crowd work. And so what
I feel like it's a couple of reasons. I think, you know, the past couple of years more headlining sets, longer feature sets. So before, you know, I was doing 10 minutes a show, 15 minutes a show. Now if I'm trying to fill 45 an hour, let's do it. But I wanna let it breathe. You know what I mean? And I think when I started letting it breathe, doing more crowd work, introing my setups with a question and seeing where it goes, you would do crowd work, and even though you're leading it into a joke, geez Louise, the crowd work was almost even better than the actual planned joke. And even crazier, I feel like you do your stand-up and you do your material and you want to do your best you can and you get in your head and you get stressed out about
right.
it. When you're just flowing and doing crowd work, it's a little more fun because
yeah.
you don't know what's going to happen. You're kind of a little more on edge. And I started kind of just doing more crowd work out of necessity. Then I started doing it because it was more fun than
right,
just
right.
doing straight joke. And you saw me before. I hated doing crowd work. I was like, I just want to do my material, get out of
yeah,
here.
Well, that's the thing. Most comedians hate doing crowd work. They're afraid of it even. You
yeah.
know, it intimidates them, which is the weird thing to me. Because if you're a comic, you're probably like a funny person naturally, you know. And so, like, crowd work is just be yourself,
yeah.
you know, and like, honestly. And so it's weird that people are so afraid of it. But I mention this because I'm a crowd work comedian. And
of course,
I do
yeah.
lots of crowd work. And so it's good to hear. It's good to hear that you're doing that and that you're more flexible, and then you're enjoying it too. And plus, people that I just meet are telling me that you did great crowd work. You know?
It feels great. I think it's one of those things where, not this isn't even a comedy thing, but I think just a human thing is, it's not even a want, it's a need. We need community. We need to feel that community. We need to feel connected to other people. When we don't, we get into trouble. You know what I mean? Kids who don't feel community, they join gangs to feel community. It's crazy.
That's right.
And I think,
or they become comedians and go to open mics every week. And
this is getting a little too real. Can we
yeah.
cut?
I told a comic recently that I think that the majority of open micers, they're not trying to get better. They
yeah.
just need a social life.
Sometimes they want to feel it. Yeah.
You know?
And that kind of hooks you in.
Yeah.
I feel that if you do your set, and you can be whatever kind of comic you want to be if you're a comic, but if you do your set, you're trying to connect with that crowd. If you ask them questions, if you learn about them, it feels more present. It feels more in the
yeah.
moment. It's almost like an improv show where no one knows what's going to happen. Everyone's kind of in the same bubble together, like, we'll see.
Yeah.
Well, and it brings them together.
It's also a little bit harder to start out doing crowd work when you're doing open mics, because you're
yeah.
doing open mics for comedians.
Yeah, it's a terrible crowd to
yeah,
work.
Yeah. So when you start doing shows, it's like, I only know one thing, which is how to do the jokes. And I think
yeah.
like once you start getting more time, then, because I mean, like, if I have a longer set, I'll try to go as long as I can without telling a joke, whereas we, like, initially it was like, let's just
yeah
do the
right.
joke.
I hear
my
that.
Challenge is that I try to go as long as I can without getting a laugh.
I got some tips. I can help you out with that, Brian.
Can you imagine if that was like, if you just did that one night, just be like, let's see how long I could go without nobody laughing.
Yeah. Hey, man, that got a Carrot Top a residency in Vegas. You know what I'm talking about? I kid. I love you, Carrot Top. Please let me open for you one day. This is all a giant bit.
Okay.
But I love doing crowd work. It's fun. I think it brings people together. I think it feels a little more risky. And sometimes,
yeah.
you know, you have bits that, like, I have bits that
oh,
I've been
like
doing for 11 years. You know what I mean? It mixes it up.
Yeah. Talking about risk, it's funny. I do a lot of crowd work, and I invite my kid to shows, you know, as much
yeah.
as I can. And I had to recently, this past year, start watching what I say on stage.
Interesting.
Because,
and with crowd work, you're kind of just
yeah,
flying off the seat of your pants.
That's just it. With crowd
yeah.
work, it's like the old expression is in the head, out the mouth. You know,
yeah.
don't even think about it. Don't process it. Just a thought pops in your head. You say it, you know. And I did that in presence of my kid. And I was saying a joke. And she was three, you know, so she's
yeah.
four now. On the drive home, I remember it was a joke that, and I'm not going to repeat the joke because she's my co-host today, but it was a joke that referenced my girlfriend, you know,
yeah.
her mother, in a not flattering way. You know, it was funny because it was obviously, I don't mean it. It's ironic. And on the drive home, she's like, Daddy, oh, I love you. She
oh.
says, Daddy, what does whore mean? And I was just like,
oh, no.
And the thing is, right, I could easily explain what that word means.
Yeah.
But I could never explain why it was funny to use it in that particular context. Well, you know what I mean? It requires too much understanding. And so I realized, you know, if she's going to be present, I need to watch it, you know. And it's funny, as I'm telling this story, as I'm telling you the story, she just whispered in my ear, "Daddy, I love you," which was like a, it made me not want to finish the story.
And then she called him a whore. It was really, it's wonderful. All right, kid. I think it's weird because my parents have probably seen me twice do stand up.
Oh, yeah?
Not very often. And those sets have been super weird because I'm very not present.
Yeah.
I'm just like thinking about like, what are they going to say about this? What are they going to think about that?
I've had that happen to me, and then I've gone beyond that, and my way of dealing with it was to not feel self-conscious in their presence, but like I'll point them out and like literally, it's not nice, but I'll be like, "Those are my parents, those assholes." You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
exactly.
I'll be like, you know, it's not a nice, and I wouldn't call them assholes, but you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm like, my parents are in the room, you know, now you know why, whatever it is. It's, I don't think it's fair to them, but they don't complain. So, and they keep coming to my shows, but you know what I mean? It's the only way that I can deal with the how you feel, you know, the self-consciousness of knowing my parents are in the room and I'm saying horrible things.
Yeah.
You know. Well, Alyssa had just reminded me that we got to the 30-minute mark. And where'd she go? Did she leave
us? She's right behind you.
No, Alyssa, come on over here. We're about to.
She is as good a podcast host as she is a spy.
So I usually cap these around 30 minutes. It's been about 30 minutes, so we're going to wrap it up.
And an absolute pleasure. See you.
How can people find you and follow your careers?
It's been like a whole day.
I know. It's been 30 minutes. Just relax. You know, your mom doesn't, when she's my co-host, she doesn't complain. How can people find you, Brian?
My Instagram is blank, not blanks. My name is Brian Blank. That's my real name. I know it sounds fake. Been introduced as Billy Blanks one too many times, so blank, not blanks.
And physically speaking, you look nothing like Billy Blanks. You know?
Other than both being black, I really see nothing in common with all y'all. You can find me on Instagram as well, at Eric Escobar. That is Eric with a K, E-R-I-K-E-S-C-O-B-A-R. Post all my shows on there if you want to catch a little bit of me in the online world. I just released a TED Talk. Would love if you guys check that out. Definitely like, share, and subscribe. And in the upcoming weeks, I have shows in Minnesota, in LA, in Vegas, in Orlando, in San Francisco, North Carolina, Royal Oak, Michigan, DC, and Eureka, California.
Ew.
So if any of those names ring a bell of cities where you are near, please support, buy some merch. I'm selling coffee now. Buy my coffee.
There you go. I hear you listing off cities, and I'm envious. Well, not envious in a way, but like I miss those days. They were fun.
Yes.
But I do enjoy the time I have with this little girl, Alyssa.
She's better than any audience I have performed in front of in any basement of any dive bar.
We do have a good time, but she used to tour. She used to travel, so maybe we'll hit the road again.
Well, I will say, I really hope that she remembers me in about 20 years when she's a headliner, and she needs an opener. So, Alyssa, please get me some more road gigs.
Do you have any last-minute questions for Eric and Brian?
No.
Okay.
Perfect cap.
Folks, this has been another episode of On the Road with Dr. Brian. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Thank you.